This is LBC London News.
Quarter to five in the capital, China has issued a warning to North Korea following its claims that a newly developed missile can carry a nuclear warhead. Beijing has told Pyongyang not to violate UN Security Council resolutions. The US Secretary of State says Washington will never accept a nuclear-armed North Korea. Well, let's get more for you on this with our US correspondent Simon Marks, who joins me live from Washington. Good afternoon, Simon.
Hello, Chris.
So we saw President Trump tweeting about this particular international issue. So we know what he thinks about it. What do we think he'll do about it?
Well, I mean, I think that's the big question, isn't it? What can the United States do about this situation in North Korea, which is a situation that is worsening by the week and by the month, with confirmation now from US officials that Kim Jong-un test-fired an ICBM, an intercontinental ballistic missile that flew for some 37 minutes, flew at an altitude that is very worrying to defense analysts here in the United States and those across the Atlantic in Western Europe, who believe that North Korea is now on the brink of developing a missile that could reach U.S. shores, could at least reach Alaska if it was successfully fired and if some kind of nuclear device was successfully attached to it. So Donald Trump had this on his mind just a few hours ago before he left Washington, D.C. He's now on Air Force One, heading for Poland for meetings with the government in Warsaw, and then for that G20 summit at the end of the week in Hamburg. And this is what he had to say on Twitter this morning. Trade between China and North Korea grew almost 40% in the first quarter. So much for China working with us, but we had to give it a try. That is the first indication by President Trump that he's frustrated with Xi Jinping, the president of China, for not having done more to help try and push North Korea, its ally in the region, away from the nuclear path. Previously, President Trump, just a couple of weeks ago, had been somewhat complimentary of President Xi's efforts. Perhaps he's just realized that those trade figures show a substantial increase in Chinese trade with North Korea during the first quarter of this year. The United Nations is debating the situation in just a few hours' time up at UN headquarters in New York, an emergency meeting of the Security Council prompted by that test firing by the North Koreans over the last couple of days. But what can the United States do? It's threatening, Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, again suggesting that the US might go it alone and take some kind of military action against North Korea. But, you know, that calculus is going to be extremely difficult for strategists here in Washington to agree upon, and it would be a move that is not without substantial risk of further goading Kim Jong-un in North Korea into more serious action.
And, of course, the timing of the test, was there any coincidence there? Because the United States yesterday celebrating independence on the 4th of July, I hope you were partying. Do you think
I was indeed.
Do you think there was any coincidence with the timing of this test?
Oh, I mean, it was definitely timed for July the 4th. This is what Kim Jong-un described as his Independence Day gift to the United States. A reminder, he says, that the United States shouldn't think that it is the only pugnacious player out there on the international stage. So Kim Jong-un definitely had America's big birthday party in mind. And in the past, he's often acted at moments when he feels it would be propitious for him to try and seize the international headline. So no question about that. That's not lost on American policymakers here. The problem is you don't just have a quixotic and mercurial leader in Pyongyang at the moment. You've got a pretty quixotic and mercurial leader here in the United States. Donald Trump now heading to Europe. He'll have an opportunity to discuss all of this with European leaders over the next few days. But he is not a man with a particularly well thought out, codified foreign policy and strategic vision, especially as far as the Asia-Pacific region is concerned. And whether he is minded reflexively to take some kind of unilateral action, that's very tough to know at the moment, but he certainly indicated in the past that it's something he's been considering.
And Simon, as you mentioned, President Trump on board Air Force One heading to Warsaw at the moment. What's his schedule looking like?
Well, he's got a very interesting few days ahead of him. And actually, he's now got, we think, two separate trips to Europe. Because remember, he spends this week kicking off in Warsaw, where he will be meeting the populist right-wing Law and Justice Party government in Poland. They certainly think they're going to find common cause with Donald Trump on a whole host of issues. And it is interesting that of all the countries he's chosen to start in, it's Poland that he's going to first, because he does seem to have more in common with the government there than he's got with governments in any other part of Europe at the moment. After that, it's on to the G20 summit in Hamburg. There's all sorts of possible threats of disruption and protests at that G20 summit in Hamburg. Many Germans very unhappy to see it taking place there to begin with, and certainly unhappy to see Donald Trump coming to the city. After that, he's then got 4 or 5 days to kill before he returns to Europe at the invitation of Emmanuel Macron to celebrate Bastille Day and also a 100th anniversary pertaining to World War I. There was some speculation that he might either stay in Europe, perhaps go and hang out at his Turnberry golf course, maybe even try and sneak in a fast visit to number 10 Downing Street, unannounced, unpublicised. There was even some speculation he might head off to Iraq and Afghanistan and visit with US forces in those two countries. But on Twitter this morning, just before he left, he said, "Getting ready to leave for Poland, after which I will travel to Germany for the G20, will be back on Saturday." So it looks like he's going to fly all the way back to Washington, D.C., spend 2 or 3 days back here, and then get on another plane and head all the way back to Paris for those Bastille Day celebrations on, of course, Bastille Day, July the 14th.
I want his air miles.
Well, it would be very nice to have them. I'm not sure if he's allowed to keep... Well, of course, he wouldn't get any on Air Force One. US government officials, you know, they up until recently, certainly, were not allowed to keep their air miles.
Really?
When they engaged in... Yes, when they engaged in this kind of official travel. I need to find out if that's still part
case.
Of the plan. Yes.
Every day's a school day. Thank you very much, Simon Marks.
Cheers, Chris.
Live from Washington. Don't forget, you can follow Simon on Twitter at SimonMarksFSN.